Locked On NBA, the biggest stories, the local experts. Every Monday, we dig into the biggest stories in the NBA with the Locked On Podcast Network hosts. Today, we'll stop in Dallas to speak with Nick Angstad of Locked On Mavericks about Luka Doncic and his recent workout picks and how his body shape is looking for the upcoming season. We also go to Sacramento to speak with Matt George of Locked On Kings about De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, and Harrison Barnes, the three Kings players who are at Team USA camp or were at Team USA camp. And lastly, we go to Orlando to speak with Philip Rossman-Reich of Locked On Magic about the mysterious Markel Fultz jumper videos, what that means for this upcoming season, and how he could factor into their push for another playoff berth. It's all coming up, the biggest stories with the local experts on Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hi guys, welcome back to another week of Locked On NBA. I am your Monday host, Josh Lloyd. I'm also the host of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast and the lead analyst at basketballmonster.com. We are going to be talking about some Team USA stuff with the Kings. We're going to be talking about workouts and summer muscle watch over with the Mavericks and talking about Markel Fultz and whether we will actually ever get to see him play in a game. Now he is in Orlando. We've got lots for us to talk about, so let's get to it. I'm joined now by one of the hosts of the Locked On Mavericks podcast. Nick Angstad is here to talk about this Dallas Mavericks team. And Nick, it is muscle watch season at the moment. And we are seeing a lot of social media posts, a lot of things about Luka Doncic. People, Courtney Lee, I think, had a comment the other day calling him Skinny Luka is going to be a problem. He does look noticeably slimmer and noticeably more defined this season, though, doesn't he?
He looks noticeably slimmer. However, there are pictures from the season where he looks just about as slim. And I have a little bit of a qualm with this, you know, oh, skinny Luka. Look at Luka. He's shown some definition in his muscles. All these pictures, he's holding weights, right? Like he has the giant dumbbell with stuff on it. He's holding it. Yes, he's going to show some definition. So I wouldn't go crazy. Somebody DM'd me the other day, and I think they were joking, but they said, what if Luka comes back and he has Russell Westbrook level of explosiveness? It's like, well, he'd be the greatest player that ever existed, probably.
Yeah.
If he came back like that.
It seems pretty unlikely.
Yeah. But I think that people have been asking for stuff like this. Mavs fans have been asking for, where is the picture of Luka working out? All we see is Luka in his car on Instagram, you know, just showing what music he's listening to, or Luka on a boat. That's the only thing that people have seen all summer. And now we're finally getting to see him in his workout stuff. He's doing sprints. He's, you know, lifting, obviously. He's wanting to get in better shape. I remember a couple months back, we got a report from Mark Cuban, and he was like, you know, we just need Luka to get in the best shape of his life. Carlisle said, we need Luka to get in the best shape of his life. And both of those entities and the Mavericks are on him to get in the best shape of his life. And so I think that it's finally kind of setting in, and we're seeing that. He's probably been working out this whole time, but Mavs fans are finally getting to see him actually work out and get into the best shape of his life, hopefully. So we'll see.
These guys are definitely always working out. The obsession with people in seeing them work out and the constant comments on their Twitter or their Instagram, yeah, you shouldn't be doing this. You should be in the gym. Why aren't you doing this? It's
Damian
ridiculous.
Lillard just got that when he put out his album. Oh yeah, he just responded to somebody I saw that said you should be working on your game instead of working on this music. And he's like, if it takes the same amount of time for me to, you know, walk from the terminal to the airplane that it does to write a verse, you know, with all the autographs I have to sign, like, should I stop doing that too? It's like, oh,
the obsession with this and seeing these workout videos is crazy. But do you think, you know, aside from all of that, the load that was placed on Doncic at the end of last season, it did cause a lot of his efficiency to drop off. Now, how much of that was the fact that they traded away their entire starting lineup apart from Luka, or was it the actual grind? Now, we can talk about, oh, yeah, it's such a long season. He still played 70 games over in Europe. It wasn't like he was coming from a 40-game college season. He played a pretty decent season over there, but that minute load and that overall amount that he had to play and the conditioning, do you think you watched the Mavericks more closely than I did. Did we see him wear down towards the end of last season?
Yeah, and we saw more games where he would take off, where the Mavericks would hold him out, and where the Mavericks would maybe not play him as much in the second half when they were pretty much out of it. We would see some things like that. And the minute load is going to really weigh on him, and it did a little bit last year, but that's one of the reasons why they wanted him to get in such great shape is because they're going to play him more. I think he played like 32 minutes a game last season. I think they want that to go up. I think they want him to play a little bit more than that. And yeah, some of the efficiency stuff was because they made this huge, massive trade, gave up, you know, 3/5 of their starting lineup, and then eventually they gave up Harrison Barnes too in a different trade, but they didn't get back Porzingis because he didn't play all last season. So they make this huge trade. They're essentially just giving away all these players for the sake of that season, right? So that's definitely going to affect it. But Luka getting in better shape is hopefully going to help him late in games. I mean, obviously we saw last year late in games, he was still able to perform. So, you know, that really didn't affect him too much because late in clutch situations, Luka was better than any rookie maybe we've seen in a long time, and a lot of players in the NBA right now.
You referenced Porzingis coming across. One other player, just quickly mention, we don't want to talk too much about him. Jalen Brunson's been playing for the USA Select team at the moment in the camp there. But let's talk about Porzingis, who of course missed all of last season with his ACL injury. The prevailing sentiment or thought is that he was probably healthy enough to come back at the end of last season, but there was really no need for that. So in terms of concerns about where he sits now, 18 months after tearing that ACL for the beginning of the year in October, I don't think anyone should have any concerns about him, you know, not being ready to go or being on a limit there. But Mark Cuban did have some, you know, comments coming out that they are definitely going to be load managing Kristaps for this coming season. What does that look like in your eyes in this load management, which is get bandied about the NBA and everyone thinks that every player is going to take 20 games off, 25 games off every season. What does that mean, do you think, for Porzingis? Because it said 18 months since he tore that ACL.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and yeah, he did. He practiced with the team, and he was full out practicing 5-on-5s and everything in practice the last month or so of the season. But I think a load manager for him, this is just me guessing. I don't have any sources on this, but I think it's going to look similar to what Kawhi did. I mean, I don't know if they're going to play him in back-to-back games like that, and if they do, I think it'll be in a limited role. But I think that they'll try to do something like that. The thing is, he doesn't do as much athleticism stuff that Kawhi does. So in trying to limit him, I think him playing is not going to be as big of a wear and tear, I think, on him. And he's been out for a long time. He's had enough time to rest, I think. So maybe in a similar sense to that, maybe he'll miss 15 games or so. Hopefully none of that is due to injury, but they're definitely going to take it one game at a time, I think. And then the other thing that really stuck out to me this summer with Porzingis is that they didn't put any clauses into his contract about injury. They didn't go the Joel Embiid route where he has all these different clauses where if he hits a certain threshold, then you get that certain amount of money. If you hit this, then, you know, you get paid this. It's just a straight up guaranteed, you know, $158 million deal. So I think that's a really good sign, seeing as though they got to see him for those last couple months of the season. They saw him in practice. They got him in the training staff. You know, they got to see him and everything. So I think that was a good sign if you're a Mavs fan looking at Porzingis and saying, what are we actually going to get from this guy who was, you know, an all-star and now has missed so many games?
Outside of Brunson, do the Mavs have any players that are taking part in the World Cup? I'm not right across the international rosters. Is Doncic playing?
Oh, Josh Lloyd. Oban, come on. Boban is playing for Serbia. So we're excited to watch Boban. The Slovenian team did not qualify, so they are not playing, which kind of stinks. But yeah, we get Boban. We're very excited to see Boban. Maxi Kleber as well for Germany. I think those are the only ones.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that, apart from Brunson doing for the US camp. Of course, he's not going to make the final roster, but there is some stuff for Mavs fans to watch with Boban and Kleber taking part in the World Cup in the next month or so, and of course checking out Doncic's Instagram account for any shots of him without his shirt on. It's a busy time for Mavs fans, and Nick, you'll have that all covered for us over on Locked On Mavericks as we wait for preseason to begin in earnest in the next month. Thanks for jumping on Locked On NBA with me.
Absolutely.
Fantasy football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Iyer and Locked On Fantasy Football, giving you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. If you listen to the same stuff as everyone else, then your team is going to be the same as everyone else. Get the edge from Vinny that will put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider. I'm joined now by the host of the Locked On Kings podcast, Matt George is here. The Sacramento Kings players, at this time, Matt, normally in the past we've been talking about high lottery picks and what they're going to do for this coming season, but now we've got those high lottery picks, De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley, who are really making their presence felt at Team USA. Now, as of today, Marvin Bagley has just pulled out, but I want to focus on De'Aaron Fox, firstly, who went from the select team, he's been promoted to the main team, and it appears now he's almost a guarantee to make the Team USA roster. What have we seen here? Fox heading into his third season here. What have we seen in these camps and these scrimmages that's making Fox stand out?
Offensively, it's got to be really his aggressiveness. And we've heard the praise that's been coming out just about how his basketball IQ has grown and his ability to recognize weaknesses and exploit them. Now, he's playing against fellow teammates in scrimmage situations and an exhibition game. So, of course, he's not facing maybe elite defense that he might face in a fourth quarter of an NBA game. But what De'Aaron Fox has shown this summer to a national audience is really what he showed to Sacramento fans locally, and that's that he is the star that the Kings were hoping that of becoming when he was coming out of high school and coming out of college into the NBA. Last year for De'Aaron Fox, from a Kings fan perspective, was all about finding out if he can be the number one guy. Sacramento found that out in the regular season. The world is finding that out now with his play at the NBA Team USA camps.
I think the question then for me is here, okay, so we saw this big breakout. He upped his efficiency. He got to the rim more. He got to the line a lot more. He just looked more explosive and was taking advantage of that extra strength that he added last season. So what we're seeing now in Team USA camp, is that just him doing what he did last season? Or is there an extra level that he's taken his game to since the end of the season in April up till now in August, where he's going up against these Team USA guys? Has he added anything? Or is it more just like, hey, this is actually what he did last season and now everyone's taking notice of it?
I don't think he necessarily took it to an extra level. However, he's certainly built upon what he's done last season, at least from what I've heard. And to me, the main growth that we've seen from De'Aaron Fox is he's always had this explosiveness, this ability to get to the rim, the ability to use his speed. I'm not sure if you saw in the exhibition game, Team USA versus Team USA, that was in Vegas. He got all the way up the floor on a fast break, two dribbles from one side of the floor to the other for a transition layup. He's always had that ability. What has really changed with him and dramatically changed over the last, I'd say, 6 to 9 months is the fact that his basketball IQ has grown to where he's recognizing the spots that extra burst is useful and where it might get him into trouble, which was a big difference from his rookie year, where he had that speed, he had that athleticism, but sometimes it would end up him running headfirst into double coverage. Sometimes it would result in him leaving his feet and have to force a bad pass. So I think basketball IQ-wise, that's the area of growth that we've seen, which is so essential for a point guard position, as you know, Josh.
Yeah, look, that's going to be key for him. And so many players take that leap forward in efficiency, in vision, in cutting their turnover rates, upping their assist rate as they head into their third season, which is exactly where Fox is coming up to in the NBA. He's going to be playing alongside, for Team USA, his teammate Harrison Barnes, who's almost a guarantee to make that squad as well. I'll get back to Barnes in a second, but let's talk Bagley, who was quite impressive in camp there, but he also pulled out today. So you want to just go through for the listeners what exactly happened with Bagley. Was he in a position that he was maybe going to make that roster? And what was his reasoning for pulling out?
You know, Josh, to be honest, this is flustering to me, because looking at the competition that he had, now there are players that are certainly more established in the NBA and probably had a better chance of making it than he did in front of him, but he wasn't facing the top centers and power forwards in the league with a no chance of making the roster. I think he had a legitimate chance, or he wouldn't have gotten an invite in the first place. I have not heard specifically from any sources or any conversation why he's electing to make this move. I know for a fact it wasn't encouraged by the Kings, because obviously they're not encouraging De'Aaron Fox to take a step back, although Marvin Bagley has been a little more injury prone than De'Aaron Fox is. My gut feeling says this came from his camp electing to, hey, maybe take it easy. We want you to focus on really taking over the starting power forward position, which is going to be the biggest change that he's going to go through from year one to year two with the Sacramento Kings. That's my theory on the entire thing. I know some fans who are really injury paranoid are happy that this is taking place, but I'm a bit flustered by it and a bit confused by it, because if you have an opportunity to make this roster, especially at such a young age, or if nothing else, get the opportunity to practice on a nightly basis or daily basis with coaches like Greg Popovich and against the top talent in Team USA and in the NBA, Why wouldn't you take that opportunity? So interesting move by Bagley, and hopefully it really pays dividends in tremendous growth for him starting next season.
Yeah, that's what Kings fans will be hoping, that he's going to take a step forward anyway, but yeah, getting that extra rest in and maybe not wearing himself down might be of benefit. But it is interesting to see that the different approaches taken by both Fox and Bagley. They're both obviously on the same team, and one really pushing forward to get that spot, and Bagley maybe in that position, and then electing to withdraw his name today. Harrison Barnes, a player that's only been with the Kings for a couple of months of actual regular season playing time, he's going to make this squad as well. Where does he fit in this Team USA scheme? Is he likely to be a regular rotation guy, do you think? And how can he, working with these players here, how does that benefit the Kings? Or what can he do here to really benefit the Kings and their push for a playoff berth in the 19-20 season?
Harrison Barnes, to me, is the perfect example of where Team USA has gone, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but clearly the best of the best of the NBA aren't playing for Team USA at the Team USA level, whether that's for injuries or the fact that they've all been playing through a very long and dramatic regular season and then playoffs on top of that, whereas Harrison Barnes, he hasn't played an NBA game since April. Harrison Barnes is what he is. He's a decent to good defender on the perimeter, can also hit an outside shot, is not going to be explosive in any one area. To me, he speaks like a glue guy, and I think that's what he's going to be for both Team USA and specifically for the Sacramento Kings. He's that guy that's just going to space the floor. Hopefully, he can teach his teammates a thing or two, or he can work with the Kings to establish some sort of consistent perimeter defensive identity, which this team has lacked really since 2006. That's the best case scenario, which you're hoping for Harrison Barnes. The Kings, yes, ultimately overpaid him, and I know a lot of people are going to be critical of the dollar signs, but he was a top priority for Vlade and Sacramento to retain him. That was a top priority from the second that he landed in Sacramento after being traded from Dallas. So for Team USA, you're just hoping, hey, he can be there, he can get good reps, maybe work alongside De'Aaron Fox and show that he belongs. And then when he gets to Sacramento, it's, okay, be the guy that fills the holes, plugs the holes, and really helps the Kings improve in very specific areas that they struggled with, really were a disaster last season.
Well, it is going to be a very interesting season for Kings fans as they have legitimate playoff hopes in a really, really tough situation, of course, in the Western Conference. But Matt, you're going to be covering all of the off-season, pre-season, and then regular season news and the adventures of the Sacramento Kings, so they can check you out over there on Locked On Kings. Thanks for jumping on Locked On NBA with me.
Pleasure to always talk with you, Josh. Keep up the great work, and I'll talk to you soon.
Locked On NFL is on fire. Expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson, now hosted by Brian Peacock as well. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL. Jump on to listen to Matt's unique take on the game. Follow Locked On NFL now on your favorite podcast provider. Let's welcome in now the host of the Locked On Magic podcast, Philip Rossman-Reich, is here. Phil, have you seen the mysterious Markelle Fultz shooting videos?
I have indeed seen them. I still know where to find them on the dark web, but I have seen Markelle Fultz shooting a basketball on my computer screen.
Okay, so these videos, we saw instances of them last season. How are these ones different, if they are different at all?
I don't know how different they are from previous seasons, in that it's just something more recent. I think for Orlando Magic fans especially, the Magic have been really kind of coy about Markelle Fultz and his progress. Anytime anyone is asked about him, whether it's Jeff Weltman or John Hammond or Steve Clifford, they will all pretty much say the same thing, that he is working hard, he's trying to get back, but we're not putting a timetable on his return. And it was just a matter of no one has actually seen him on a basketball court doing basketball things. And sometimes some video would come out and you'd have to question, like, when was this video taken? And what was different about these videos is you could see Magic staffers or people wearing Magic shirts working with him, which made it seem more recent, that, yeah, he's on the basketball court working out. How close he is to coming back, well, that's up to the watcher's imagination.
I still believe in Fultz. I still think he can be an interesting player, and he could actually still become a very, very good player. Of course, there's a huge mental hurdle, injury, physical hurdle as well for him to get over. The Magic didn't make really many moves in terms of the point guard position. They brought back Michael Carter-Williams to be that backup point guard behind incumbent starter DJ Augustin. Do you think that there is a legitimate chance that opening night Markelle Fultz is at least in that backup role?
You know, I think there's definitely a real chance that he'll be in that role. I think that, you know, if I were the Magic, the way I would approach this is I would treat Markelle Fultz as if he were a rookie. He's played only 33 games in the league so far, so he's essentially still a rookie as far as experience goes. And so I would set my expectations pretty low, but he's a talented player. I mean, I've been telling people that if you go look at his stats or look at how he played, take out his shooting numbers and ignore the kind of shooting issues that he had, he's still a guy that can get into the paint. He's still a guy that can distribute and pass the ball a little bit. He's still someone that can contribute something on an NBA court. And I think that, you know, I mean, my read of the whole situation, so who knows if this is true or not, but my read of the whole situation has been if they needed Markelle Fultz to play tomorrow, you know, aside from rust, he'd be ready to play. He'd be able to play. It's not about an ability to play. It's about making sure he's healthy and pain-free for the long term so that he isn't starting and stopping. And so I think the Magic's approach has been a good one. Be patient, you know, let him kind of earn his way onto the court. And I think once he's in camp, he will be someone that will be a rotation player for this team.
Yeah, I can say that. And I think the Magic would be hoping, and Magic fans would be hoping, that at some point, actually, it all comes together and he can take over from DJ Augustin and be that starter. Because, as you said, he's still got this ability. He can pass. He can defend really, really well. Block shots, even for a guard. A really strong block rate coming out of college. He can get his shot whenever he wants. He can get into the paint wherever. It's just that they don't go in, and he's got that real issue with the three-pointers. But just watching him, the triple-double he put up in his rookie season, some of the play last season, he can still get to those spots. He can still, you know, create that separation, which, Phil, it's one of the biggest things in the NBA. Can you create the separation to get your own shot off, and can you involve your teammates, and can you defend? And he ticks all those boxes. He just has that confidence, or he needs that confidence in his body to get that shot back off. And if that works out, then the Magic have got a real chance of being able to really grow this squad. But he's the biggest swing piece definitely in on this team, probably in this division, probably in this conference, maybe in the entire NBA. Because if he's good, it changes the calculus for this entire squad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think, you know, you go back and look at the Magic in the playoff series, their glaring big weakness in that playoff series against the Raptors was they just had no one who could create their own shot. They used Nikola Vucevic as sort of kind of the fulcrum for the whole offense, and he kind of creates all the attention. When Toronto was able to kind of knock him out of the game and really just ignore the Magic shooters, as the Magic also shot really poorly in that series, when they were able to do that, the Magic's offense just died. Just period, just died. It was terrible throughout much of that series. And Markelle Fultz is the exact kind of player that you know, at his best at least, that this team needs, who's able to kind of create shots for himself and create shots for others off the dribble. And that's something that the Magic are really banking on to kind of help this team reach that next level, so they're not kind of stuck in the quote-unquote treadmill of mediocrity.
Yeah, so he's going to be that big swing piece that can determine exactly where this team goes. And I've got still a degree of confidence in him as he enters into his third season. But Phil, this Magic team, there are a few of these players who are going to be involved in international ball over the coming weeks with their FIBA obligations and players that haven't pulled out as of yet. So which Magic players are we going to be seeing in action over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, the Magic are actually going to be pretty heavily involved in FIBA action. Not only did you have Jonathan Isaac playing with the select team in the scrimmage on Friday, but you'll also see Nikola Vucevic play for Montenegro. It's Montenegro's first appearance in the FIBA World Cup in quite some time, and it's a big deal for him and his nation to be in there. Evan Fournier will be playing for France. Ken Birch will be playing for Canada, and Al-Farouq Aminu, I believe, is one of the team captains for Korea.
Yeah, so there is a lot of magic action happening out here with these guys, and most of these players are going to be playing pretty significant roles for their respective squads in the FIBA World Cup. Of course, everyone's just hoping that none of these guys get injured. But are there any of these players playing in FIBA? And we've seen it for Team USA in the past, that players who take on a role, they can often bring that back to their NBA team and take a big step forward. So any of these guys, Aminu or Birch or Fournier, or even Vucevic, maybe to a lesser degree, any of these guys that can come in with their national team and take that experience, take that change in role, and be able to apply that to an NBA squad?
You know, I really think Evan Fournier is someone who stands to gain a lot from this World Cup. Last year, he took a step forward in some ways with his play. He was a better playmaker, averaging around 4 assists per game, I believe. Was a better defender for the Magic, but his shooting took a huge step back, and that's something that the Magic desperately needed from him. I think he shot if it wasn't a career worst, it was the worst in a Magic uniform for him at 34% from beyond the arc. He's actually under 30% in the playoffs, which is a huge loss for the Magic because essentially his main role for that team for the Magic is to be a three-point shooter. For Team France, he's going to be I think he's going to be one of the main guys attacking off the perimeter. They got Nando DeColo, who's a really solid pick-and-roll point guard, but they're going to need – if France wants to medal, and they should be thinking that they can medal because they've got the talent to do so, if they want to medal, they're going to need Evan Fournier to play at a higher level. And really, it's going to be a level that the Magic need him to stay at if they want to make the playoffs again, number one, and do make a little bit more noise and do a little bit more damage moving forward. So I think Evan Fournier, while he may not be doing a lot of things differently than what he will be doing with the Magic – if he does them well, I think that bodes very well for Orlando moving forward, especially if his three-point shot looks a lot better and his playmaking is a lot better too in pick and rolls, because they'll run a lot of Fournier Gobert pick and rolls, I think. And judging by some of the video Evan's taken, there might be a few pick and pops with Rudy Gobert as well.
Well, that'll be definitely interesting to see whether Rudy can do that. But of course, Magic fans don't care too much about that. But there is lots for Orlando fans to be watching in the FIBA World Cup in the coming weeks. So, Phil, you'll have that covered over on Locked On Magic and every other bit of news regarding the Orlando Magic. Thanks for jumping on Locked On NBA with me.
Absolutely. No problem. Thanks for having me on.
And that'll do it for another episode of Locked On NBA. Make sure you're subscribing to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Spotify. Give us a 5-star review. That would be excellent. Also, follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and follow the Locked On Podcast Network at Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and on Instagram. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.